Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by co-host Cedra Stark.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm going to tell you, I might have already told you this story, but I haven't told it on the recording, but apparently I have made myself known as the apple juice girl around here. Did I tell you this story?
That's a great reputation.
Yeah.
I think.
So with the heat, our guys decided to remove apple juice from our machines.
Okay.
And put another slot of water.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering how that would help.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because more people were going through the water so fast. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, we're gonna because they're having to come and restock more than once a day sometimes.
Yeah.
So I was told, mm-hmm. someone made sure to come to me and mm-hmm. inform me mm-hmm. that the apple juices were no longer in the machine. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Bo. Thank you, Bo.
Yeah,
Bo. For making sure that I was not surprised. Yeah.
So you got a stash of apple juice now.
There wasn't that many because those go bad, so they don't keep just tons of them. I don't think a lot of people were drinking the apple juice as much.
Apparently not, if that's what they sacrificed. And not the, you know, the diet.
Yeah, they
Pepsi
went with the one.
Whatever.
They went with the thing that's going to go bad.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So they took the apple juices out, and I, you know, there was a handful. So they're like, "Here's your apple juice," and I was like, "Thank you."
That's really interesting. Okay.
They was gone in 2 days.
Yeah.
The apple juice is gone.
It makes me glad to hear though that like people are making the healthy decision, and the heat is to get the water and not the. You know,
yeah.
The apple juice.
And,
or whatever,
and we have some great water fill-up stations around here. And they're the kind that keep track, like, how many bottles of water have, like, how many plastic bottles have we not used
because
we're refilling up.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
And so, but it is just so hot.
It's been really hot. I'm looking at the forecast for next week. I think it's going to go down to the 80s again, which
that'd
I'm
be so wonderful
because my house is not built for the heat. It's built for warm weather. Like, in the winter, we are toasty. But in the summer, we're toasty.
Extra toast.
Yeah, we need some help in that department. So hopefully the rain coming in, the cloud cover, will reflect some of that.
That would be so nice. Because we're talking...
Yeah, it's blazing.
Mid-90s.
Yeah, it's been, it went up to the upper 90s a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
And you get in the car and you see the, you know, 109, which is what I saw the other day. I was like,
Yeah.
Nope.
And I'm not about that.
Yeah, not about that. But anyways, that is not today's topic.
No, that's fine.
But before we get into that, I just want to let everybody know that you can go to AFR.net or AFA.net if you want to see all the things that we have going on, because we're not just a radio station.
No,
there's so much more. Mm-hmm. Jordan across from me, he's a writer for our print magazine and our online blog called The Stand.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just one facet. We have obviously our news department, our studio department who does our video work. I mean, and just so much, I mean, there's so much going on, that we cover here. But if you go to AFA.net, you can get connected, plugged in, wherever you would like, connect with us on social media. Mm-hmm. We have a streaming platform that has all kinds of content.
Yeah.
So I encourage you to go to AFA.net and check all that out.
Absolutely. We at AFA, we're all about being a resource and creating a resource that edifies Christians and builds you up and enables you to go out into the world and make a difference and advance the kingdom of God. So again, if you want to take a look at all of that, go to AFA.net. That is the central hub for everything.
And three words, inform, mm-hmm. equip, activate.
Exactly. So. Inform, equip, activate. Well, we want to inform, equip, and activate you today to do something pretty difficult.
This is a hard one.
Yeah. So in Matthew 6:14-15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses."
I mean, forgiveness is such a hard thing.
Yeah.
Because I keep thinking of, and I know this is so unserious, but I keep thinking of the VeggieTales episode on forgiveness, yeah. The Grapes of Wrath.
I remember it.
They called it the Grapes of Wrath. It's because it was actual grapes.
Yeah.
And they stopped and they saw Junior Asparagus and start bullying him about the way he looks and all kinds of stuff. And it was just this lesson on forgiving them. And I don't know why I keep going back to that.
No, it's good. I mean, I think VeggieTales accomplished what it set out to do is to, you know, put these lessons in our head. But absolutely, I remember that episode very well. But yeah, it is a difficult thing to do, I think. Now, I do want to say, like, what I don't believe this passage is actually telling us is that our salvation is conditional on our ability to forgive.
Yeah.
I do think that Jesus was making a point to Jews who had this the Mosaic law that they followed, and where there was a lot of conditional grace in a lot of ways, where you follow the law and that's how you get favor with God. And even in that system, you had the sacrifices that were there to show them, hey, you can't do this perfectly and God's providing a way. And obviously Jesus is our way, because we can't obey God perfectly. We can't forgive men their trespasses perfectly, and thankfully, because Jesus can, God can also forgive us. So this is not teaching that if you don't forgive men their trespasses perfectly, then you're probably not going to end up in heaven. That's not what it's teaching at all. But I do think it really emphasizes how God views forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins. And I think that's really kind of profound when you think about it. Here is God. Okay, well, we think about sin, right? What is sin? Sin is a twisting, a perversion, a lie about something that God said is good, right? Sin has everything to do with God, right? That you can't separate these two things. And so here is God telling us, hey, you know sin, you know these trespasses, you know evil. I want you to forgive people for that. That kind of boggles my mind a little bit, but then when you look at the cross, obviously that was God's answer. That was God's showing us how this paradox can be possible. But this does teach us, hey, God views forgiveness very seriously, so seriously, in fact, that he died on the cross so that he could forgive other people. And as Christians, that needs to be our attitude, is that forgiveness is going to require us to really sacrifice ourselves.
Yeah. And the thing is if we are to forgive the way that we have been forgiven, I think I've mentioned this before, the whole point of the grace of God is that we are not worthy.
Yeah.
I've seen people wear like shirts or like promote in churches and stuff that you are worthy. And I'm like, no, that is not, you're not supposed to be raising people up on a pedestal. You are not worthy. That is the point of grace. You weren't worthy, but Jesus came anyway. And so you're dealing with somebody and you're looking at them and you're like, they're not worthy of my forgiveness. Okay, now it's your turn to do what Jesus did and forgive them anyway. And I know that is so difficult because there are people in my life that I've not wanted to forgive.
Yeah.
There are people today that I'm still working on forgiveness, because I do think sometimes forgiveness is a process. You got to realize you need to forgive them, and then you need to start working on some stuff in your life to get to that point where you're able to forgive them. But there's not a question as forgive them if you can. That is not the point is forgive them anyway.
Yeah. Because the Bible teaches us that we absolutely can forgive.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is in us to enable us to obey God. Without that, we wouldn't really be able to in the way that we should. And so with the Holy Spirit, when someone does real harm to us or really offends us, you know, and they are in the wrong, there's no question about it. They deserve whatever, consequence, would be just there. The Holy Spirit is there to absolutely enable us to forgive. So Christians really don't have an excuse when it comes to, I just, you know, they did something so bad that I cannot forgive them. And I mean, surely in some situations there's a lot of sympathy there for the person who was wronged. And yeah, it is not easy, even with the Holy Spirit's help. It's not easy to forgive someone, but you absolutely can, because God forgave you. Yeah. And that was far beyond any effort that you would have to put forward.
Well, and also, just to go along with the seriousness of mm-hmm. how Jesus viewed forgiveness and how he meant for you to forgive, we're going to go to Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Mm-hmm. And then Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times."
Mm-hmm. 70 times 7.
Yeah. Somebody,
it's a different version.
It's getting it twisted. But it was like 70 times 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you go to 70 times 7, people, you think you want to add it up, but that's 4. The VeggieTales version in my head, when they're trying to figure that out, and they go 490. So I can never forget how much 70 times 7 is. But the point is, are you supposed to stop at 490? That's not the point. The point is like that's such a huge number of times.
Mm-hmm.
So what is being said there is that you're not supposed to stop forgiving them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, there are some things that you should not have to continue to endure from somebody.
Yeah.
Forgiveness does not mean letting them walk all over
you.
That's
true. Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes you can forgive them
mm-hmm.
and move on.
Yeah.
But still not have them in your life, depending on the situation. I think there are so many things people get so wrapped up in themselves that they, you know, they start cutting off people for everything.
Yeah.
And I see it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, this person did this, I'm not let them treat me that way.
Yeah.
I mean, don't let them treat you that way, but sometimes, you know, you can work things out.
Yeah.
But there are some things I'm going to say you can't.
Absolutely, and I think that's a great point. I mean, like, if someone's in a relationship with someone who, whether that's a friendship, whether that's a family member, whatever the case may be, like, and there's actual harm happening, there's things maybe that were said or done that are, you know, people do monstrous stuff all the time. And that's not something that I think God is calling a Christian to, you know, no, stay in that situation. You know, you spend time around that person. Don't feel like you can't leave a situation if there's actual harm happening to you or someone that you're, you know, a child that you have or someone who you're responsible for. You can obviously make that decision and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, make this decision of safety and
yeah.
And healing for yourself. But what forgiveness is, and, you know, there's probably a lot of discussion about what actually is forgiveness, but at the very least, forgiveness is you're laying down your right to be offended. You're laying down your right to be in that place of judgment over someone else
mm-hmm.
and in that place of dealing out condemnation, and you're laying down your anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you right now, in most situations, that's never going to happen fully in your life. Like, anger is something that can just stick with you, and it might just be a process through your whole life as you walk with the Lord of dealing with it and just being honest about it and repenting of it, but never really fully realizing, you know, that truly letting it down until you're with the Lord. And that's probably going to be the reality for most people. But the Bible really does teach us that forgiveness is something that we should seek with all our heart. Laying down our right to be angry, laying down our right to be wrathful, to wish ill upon someone. Because at the very least, that's what God did for us. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, all the more offensive we were to him than anyone could ever be to us, because we were created in his image, you know, and it's something we can't even comprehend, our relationship to God as his creatures. What does it even mean for us to sin? How does that even feel to him? What is that? How does that offend him? We can honestly not understand it. It's beyond our ability. But it surely is more than anyone could possibly offend us.
Well, I think something to discuss is how do people work on the unforgiveness that they have? I think the first thing is to realize that your unforgiveness and your bitterness leads to sinfulness in your heart. And it is, since you're called to forgive and you're not willing to, then that is a sin. So that's something you need to ask for forgiveness for.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
and you need to spend time in prayer asking for forgiveness for that, asking for God to intervene and help you. I mean, he's there.
Yeah.
Sometimes we forget that you can go, we try to deal with all these things on our own.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
That right there, I think, is such a good point to apply to so many things.
Pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Because when God gives us commands, I feel like we as Christians, we can feel kind of like the kid who's at home and, you know, mom and dad hand us the chore list and say, we're going to go run some errands. We want all this to be done by the time we get home.
Yeah.
And that's not what it is at all. These aren't things that we are left at home alone to do and accomplish on our own power. And then when God comes back, he's going to check our work and make sure. No, this is something that God says, look, here's who I am. Let's do this together. And I'm going to come behind you and I'm going to walk you through the process. And so many times we, whether out of pride or just because we have a wrong understanding of what God is and what love is and what a father is, we want to do it on our own. You know, we're like, no, God, we got this. I can tackle this forgiveness problem. I'll make you proud. And if we just, I mean, that's, what is that? The Bible calls that a bucket of filthy rags, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what that is to God. It's like, why are you offering me this trash when I've provided everything you could possibly need through Jesus? Lean into that. He's done the work. Live in that, and I'm going to walk with you the rest of the way and help you if only you would lean on me. And I think that's, I mean, that's all throughout the Bible, and that's really the environment that we need to live in when it comes to, yeah, working on unforgiveness in our hearts. We can't, you know? We can take that to God and say, help me with this. And I think that he will. Not to say that all of a sudden we'll find it completely dissolved away and we don't ever have to worry about it again. But at least this is something that, even if it takes the rest of our lives, God's working with us in that process.
Yeah. something that you wrote down a long time ago was, remember that forgiveness isn't just an emotion or a feeling. It is an act of, it's an act of will. And I'm like, yeah. And as much as, when you're not willing to forgive, that's not because you're physically incapable of doing so. It's because you're refusing to do it, which means you have chosen to actively ignore a commandment given to you by God.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think too, yeah, it's not an emotion. It's something that you have to do. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we can kind of trick ourselves into being unbothered.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like somebody did something to offend us, and for a second we're like, oh, we really didn't like that. But then we're just going to be like, you know what? It didn't bother me. I'm going to move on. It's whatever. You know, we're cool. And that's not for forgiveness. That's a masking of the issue. That's burying the problem. If there is an offense, you do have to deal with it, even if it's just by yourself. But absolutely, yeah, it is something that you have to do.
Yeah. And the part that I hate the most is the confrontation. And you
me too.
and there are some people out there that you're not going to be able to, you may not be able to speak to and actually get that confrontation. But if you can, sometimes you have to. You have to go to the person. You have to look them in the eyes and maybe even tell them, like, I've been struggling to forgive you for this. And it's something I'm working on.
Yeah.
If you're not, even if you're not at a place where you're ready to forgive, you might, you know, but you do need to have, if possible, that moment.
And like, I really do think that, as much as I also hate confrontation.
Oh, I hate it so much.
It's the worst thing ever. I would rather eat dirt. But it is, I do think you could almost find that that helps. Like mm-hmm. going and talking to the person, you might see their perspective and be like, oh, wait, it wasn't what I thought. You know, at the very least, you could clear up some misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And you could be like, I was actually wrong about that the entire time. And I would not be surprised if that happens quite a bit, yeah. considering how easily we are offended. That, you know, somebody said something that we took the wrong way. And some of us can really take that to the grave, that grudge, you know, that wound that really wasn't there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So that could go a long way to clearing up some of the air. And honestly, like, if you go to the person who offended you and you're not able to forgive them, that gives them a chance to realize, oh, there was an issue. I need to seek forgiveness.
Yeah.
And especially if there's a fellow Christian involved. And this is something that the Bible has a lot to talk about. If there's an offense between two Christians, there's a matter. Sometimes there's the church steps in to help resolve that issue. But definitely giving them the opportunity to, you know, see that there was an issue. Now, again, I don't think that this is always possible. Maybe this is something that happened back in your childhood. Maybe this is somebody who's not with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, I do think if there is a possibility, even if it's looking up somebody on Instagram and just shooting them a quick message and just being like, hey, you know, wanted to touch base with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has been bothering me these years, and I want to let you know, that. And then you just fill in the blank with whatever the situation may be. There are ways now that we can reach out to people.
Yeah.
And I do think that if they do see a Christian actively trying to be forgiving, that can go a long way to ministering to them and witnessing to them.
Yeah. And I will say, I do realize, like I said, that sometimes the confrontation isn't always possible. Even if you could reach out to them, if you knew that it would create other issues, you know, like if you're trying to, just for example, if you had somebody you dated back and they cheated on you and it really hurt you, but now they've moved on and you know that reaching out to them would hurt their family,
yeah, mm-hmm.
or something that they have created now where they have moved on from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to spend time in prayer and ask for that guidance.
Yeah.
In order to make a call on whether it's appropriate or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just keeping in mind also that, you know, the end of the story isn't always going to be, you know, rainbows and daisies and everybody's mm-hmm. happy and, you know, everything's fine.
It may like, not, that honestly, person may not learn a lesson
mm-hmm.
and, that, you know, that mm-hmm. they may not even believe they did anything wrong.
Exactly. The point is, the forgiveness is about you and God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really about you and that other person.
Yeah.
It can, and it does include that, but it really is about you and God seeing you and, you know, reminding you, hey, you're my child now.
Yeah.
You're not in the kingdom of darkness. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You're my child now, and this is how God's children are. And this is what I've given you to live like that, and you need to take advantage of that. That's really what forgiveness is about. It's about matching the model of Jesus and living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. This isn't something that's just between you and the person that offended
exactly.
you.
And it's not about releasing them of the consequences of their actions
oh, certainly
either.
Not. Yeah.
Because you can forgive someone, and they still have to face those consequences.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it's about clearing the hatred from your heart,
mm-hmm.
clearing that anger out of your life. And then the thing is when you have that that unforgiveness pent up inside you,
yeah.
it can lead to, other sins, other actions. One of them being gossiping. I know that's a hard one to get away from.
Mm.
Because if you're angry, if you are that upset, you know, upset with somebody
mm-hmm.
and you're not willing to forgive them, you tend to talk about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, like you said earlier, you don't have the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
You just have your side, and but you're going off and telling that side to
yeah.
whoever else.
Yeah.
I've been there. Been there.
Oh, yeah, we all have, yeah.
And, I mean, that's something for yourself, because every bit of sin in your life creates a big barrier between you and God.
Mm, right.
Clear it out.
Yeah.
Get it out. And
yeah.
and move on and live your life.
Yeah. And I think, too, in the struggle to forgive, remembering the cross, really remembering that Jesus came, that God came, and lived among sinful humans who offended him every day and perfectly obeyed God the entire time of his life here and, you know, went to the end, went to the cross, accepted the cross and accepted the sin of the entire world, sin that was that God cannot look upon. He took upon himself. The Bible says he became sin. That's extreme language, that God the Son became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Remembering that, and then also just looking past the cross and remembering the resurrection and the hopefulness and the promise that we can also have that new life. I think that that can, if we meditate on that, and we should be daily meditating on that, that we it will put our own offenses and our own struggles into perspective, and we can see, okay, yeah, it's not easy. I am not God the Son. I'm a human. You know, I am a mere mortal who is still in a fleshly body and has, you know, pride and arrogance and grudges. But there is a process going on in my life right now that I am enabled to, through the power of God and through the grace of God, I can forgive someone. And I think that that kind of thing can really inspire us to do that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we have about 10 seconds left. I want to remind you guys to go to AFA.net for all the things that AFA offers. And until next time, continue to share truth and apply scripture.